We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Joe, as we know, Providence desperately needs more tax revenue, but the city's high taxes discourage more development from taking place. What is your advice to the mayor of Providence, Jorge Lorza, about how the city can do a better job in overcoming that challenge?
I am a believer in tax stabilizations. I am a believer in tax incremental financing. You have to put packages like that together. I think it's important that they work with the state and various bonding authorities that they have, but they have to create jobs, and they can't just give it to anybody that comes up there. The city has got a budget problem. They have to work on that.
In terms of tax stabilizations and incentives, there have been findings that these kind of deals haven't always had as much oversight as they should have. Are you confident that the city officials, the city council, Mayor Lorza, will do better with that moving forward?
I hope so. This is a new crowd that's in City Hall. So I like Mayor Lorza. He's very smart. And I would hope that they would work diligently on this. I made a point where Blue Cross Blue Shield received a very big tax stabilization. But I think they violated the spirit, if not the law, the spirit of it, because they've made that building into a commercial building. And the intent in that stabilization was to keep Blue Cross employees there. What I have heard from prospective tenants that have looked at that building along with my building is that the Blue Cross people have said to them that they're thinking about having more space available, and they're going to move some of their workers to the Lincoln Mall because it's cheaper space.
Okay, let's hold that there. Let's go to Scott.
I'm wondering, this has become a perennial question in downtown Providence, but the Industrial National Building, known to Rhode Islanders in the vernacular as the Superman Building. You're a developer. You own a lot of downtown land. You've done a lot of things over the years. What would you do with that building?
I do think there should be in place a stabilization and maybe a historic tax credit, but only if a company is going to put thousands of jobs in that building, so that the developer will then have an opportunity to market that building knowing what the cost would be, because it's going to be so costly. There have been some rumors that one of the local banks in Providence is looking to maybe do a consolidation. That would be a home run. If you had 4,000 people work in that building, it'd be incredible. The building is not in bad shape. Some people think it is. It's really not. I've walked through that building recently, and I think you got to spend a lot of money there. There's no doubt about it. You got to put new windows. You got to take care of the outside of the building. You got to take your heating system, but that's all normal stuff that you have to do. But it's not that difficult if you have a tenant. But if the developer has a package in hand, in place already, then he could market that. And I think that the state and the city need to try to work with him to put a package in place.
So you feel a commercial development is better than, say, residential, which people have talked about?
I think it is. And I love residential development in downtown, but I think in that building, how many buildings do we have in all of Rhode Island that has 400,000 square feet of space that we can make it available for one major company to move into? So if you market it that way, it would go a long way. And I think the new Secretary of Commerce understands the programs that they've done in New York, the Liberty Bond program that they did, the program that they've done in Harlem, in downtown, Ground Zero. Those programs, we don't have those in Rhode Island. We need programs similar to that. He understands it. He and I have had a conversation about it, and I hope to see stuff like that happen in the legislature.
We hear there's something like a 96% occupancy rate for downtown residential units. Beyond tax incentives, what should be done, or what would it take to encourage more residential development or conversion downtown?
I think historic tax credits are going to be very important. I'm looking at, I have four buildings right now, all historic buildings. One I'd like to do apartments, another one I'd like to put in place for a hotel, and the others would be office buildings. And I'm waiting to see if they do that or not, because it doesn't make sense not to do it. I can't do it if they don't have historic tax credits. But you need to show that you're creating jobs, and you need to show that you're fixing up the building, and it's going to be done in a very attractive manner.
Why has Warwick been able to leverage all of this development around the airport without any tax incentives, with the developers paying full boat for a whole lot of new development?
Well, that's different. I spoke too soon. I'm sorry. One of the great things in Providence is our train station. And just think the kind of development, Scott, we would have if we had true high-speed rail, go to Boston in 15 minutes, go to New York in an hour and 15 minutes. True high-speed rail. They're doing it from Las Vegas to Los Angeles. They're doing it from Orlando to Miami. Why can't we do it? Claiborne Pell was the grandfather of rail, of Amtrak, in the Northeast Corridor. And I think we have to aggressively do something like that. I went to Scott, this is interesting. During the 1988 convention in Atlanta, Andrew Young gave a talk to a bunch of mayors and developers talking about what made Atlanta was their airport. Well, that airport can help us in Providence. The train station can help us big time. We need high-speed rail. Why we haven't gotten some of that stimulus money for high-speed rail is beyond me.
The city council will be an important factor in Mayor Alorza's effectiveness as mayor of Providence. What advice would you give him on how he can have the most productive relationship with the council?
Meet with the city council on a regular basis. Every city council meeting, Scott will remember that although the mayor does not go to council meetings, I would be in the office, and after the council meeting, I would be in the office. I would have my department directors there. So if council people wanted to have a beer with you or have a Diet Coke with you and have a pizza and talk to your various department heads, that they would be able to do that. And you need to develop a personal relationship with these people. If you're going to keep it at arm's length distance, you're not going to get anything accomplished.
If that didn't work, you just took them to Hopes, right?
We took them to Hopes.
I'm wondering about the 195 land. It seems to me that you have to be concerned. You just don't give this out to the first person who comes in the office with a proposal. I'm thinking of Newport. Years ago, right after the Navy left, a lot of people in Newport lament the fact today that they just let anybody who wanted to come downtown and threw money at them to build a hotel on the waterfront without worrying about parking and some of the other amenities that were needed. How do we strike a balance between wanting to put something into the 195 land and not allowing just the guy with the most money to put up schlock there?
Well, I love student housing in downtown, and I think they have proved that already for 195, but how many jobs is it really going to create? That's why I liked what Gina Raimondo had to say. She's been talking about what they did on Roosevelt Island in New York, how the city really gave them the land so that they could build a whole knowledge district and industry out there. We could do the same thing here on 195, and I think we have to follow where our economy is leading. And our economy is into biotech, it's into high tech, it's going into university related. They employ a lot of people, and I think we need to look at that. But there's more to it than just student housing to be on 195. So I disagreed with the decision that 195 did back, but the commission did a few weeks ago.
We've had a lot of snow here in Rhode Island in January, obviously. So how would you evaluate the snow plowing and clearing effort in the capital city of Providence?
I think they failed it. I think they blew it. But not to be upset that I made that comment. Don't be upset that you actually did blow it. Learn from it. You always learn from your losses.
What should be done differently?
If I was the mayor or if he asked me my advice, I would say, why don't you call? You didn't have enough trucks out there and you can't depend on public works. You need your private vendors and you got to make sure that you pay them timely. You can't have a private vendor waiting 3-4 months to get a check from the city. They got to get paid within a week. They have people that they have to pay themselves. So a lot of times vendors won't do business in Providence because they don't think they get paid timely. So call the men, have a beer with them in your office, tell them that you're going to pay them a good rate, and make sure that you have not 97 trucks, but 297 trucks in the city of Providence. That's how you plow the snow. It's not complicated.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Joseph R. Paolino, Jr.
Thanks, Ian.